Beloved in the Lord, imagine waking up every single morning, opening your eyes, stretching your arms and sitting up, putting your feet on the floor with the full confidence that today is a day of purpose. You thank God for this new day, another opportunity. And this day is a day of purpose because you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to focus on. You know there is going to be good. It's not something you have to do. It's something you want to do. And you know, by God's grace, you can do it. It has purpose. It is full of integrity. It is valuable. And not for a single second throughout this day will you second guess that purpose. The reason you are so confident about this day is not just because what you're going to do and how you will do it. You're also confident about the reasons why. What would it be like to wake up with this confidence of the purpose of today? You're going to be confident about every minute, the purpose of every minute. You're going to be confident that every minute matters. And there's going to be lasting impact. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live? It's not just because you would have a limited, boring life full of the same thing every single day. No, life would be full of surprises, and yet you would be absolutely confident throughout all those surprises. You might think of them as wrinkles, you might see them as challenges, curveballs, and yet that purpose would remain. But who can be that confident? Who comes to the end of every day laying back on their bed and closing their eyes and thinking, everything I did today, every single minute was purposeful, valuable, good? As we open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1, we need to approach the introduction to this book of Romans with that realization that there is a confident purpose that should be the reality of every one of God's children. God has set you apart for a purpose. And that's really our very simple theme this morning, set apart. And we'll see how Paul was set apart, how the Romans were set apart, and how every one of God's children today is set apart. Notice first from this passage that God has set Paul apart. And this is remarkable. It's remarkable because if you recall the history of Paul, Paul didn't grow up on this path he was on now. No, he had been dedicated to righteousness by man-made laws. He had been dedicated to persecuting those who worshipped the Messiah. He had been cruel. He had been stubborn. He had taken great delight in making things horrible for men and women, boys and girls, because they believed in this Jesus. And then God stopped him. Right? Through a burning light, you can read this in Acts 9, the question came down, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And He fell back wondering who this was, what was happening. He had no confidence in the moment. It was just questions. Then God told him, you need to arise and go to the city and wait for instructions. And when the instructions came, where were they? You are to go out and bear my name. Right? You are to go out and you carry the name of Jesus Christ with you wherever you go. And now Paul's writing to the Romans, and how does he describe himself as we look at those first words? He is Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. It's remarkable. Paul is set apart. This man who used to desire the exact opposite. He didn't want to serve Jesus Christ. He wanted to eradicate those who served Jesus Christ. And this is in a life decision that he made that changed his own trajectory. Right? He's not a self-appointed apostle. He's not a self-acclaimed preacher. No, he's a slave, a bondservant of Jesus. He's called by God to be an apostle. Set apart, separated by God for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's remarkable because God chose someone who was against the gospel to represent the gospel. Paul tells the Galatians, it pleased God who separated me and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him. It's not just remarkable, it's also gracious. Right? Paul says, God called me through His grace. In our passage from Romans, we see this in verse 5. Through Him, we've received grace and apostleship for His name. You see, being set apart wasn't something that Paul had earned. It wasn't a merit badge. It wasn't a rank. It's not that Paul had ascended through the ranks of being a Pharisee and then a repentant Pharisee and then a communicant for 10 years and then a deacon for 3 terms and then an elder for 2 years. And then he earned this rank? No, it was. Through Him we've received grace and apostleship. He's set apart by grace. It's not for selfish ends, because continue reading verse 5. It is for obedience to the faith among all the nations for His name. This is a privilege. God's given this grace to Paul, set him apart for a purpose. It's undeserved, as all grace is. But the privilege that comes from this grace is one of the things that Paul describes in this opening paragraph. He promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through Him, we've received this grace. This was the same grace that came to the prophets. This is the same grace that enabled the Scriptures to be recorded. This is the same grace that opened people's eyes to see Jesus, the Son of David, as the Son of God with power. And you see, because it's remarkably accomplished by God, we see Paul set apart purposefully. The purpose in Paul's mind was so clear. The wrinkles that were going to come didn't faze him. The naysayers didn't confuse him. He knew the purpose for which God had set him apart. He tells the Galatians in chapter 1, it pleased God who separated me and called me that I might preach among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with others and go to Jerusalem, but I went into Arabia, into the desert to unbelievers. I knew what I had to do. I was to be a servant of God, a representative, an ambassador. So what does he tell the Corinthians? We are ambassadors for God, God pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Think of ambassadors for a moment. Paul seeing himself this way, what do ambassadors do? They go to other places. But they don't speak their own words. They don't share their own policies. They don't plot their own purposes. No, they represent someone else, someone greater than themselves. And they go out careful in life because they know they're representatives of someone who deserves to be esteemed. And so they go out as representatives, they speak. But their words matter, their manners matter. And they go out pleading with the people that they're talking to. You need to think very highly of the person who's sending me out because he cares. Now there's an application here for you, even as a church. If God has sent Paul out, God has sent preachers out to bear his name and to represent him in whatever place it is. How do you respond to the representatives God has sent? Because they're ambassadors. You see, it's not just, it wasn't just Pastor Hans standing here. It was an ambassador of the Most High King sent to you. And how you respond to him then is representative of your response to the sender. If you respond with listening and forgetting, that's one thing. We all forget, right? Ambassadors are very willing to repeat the message over and over. But if you respond by rejecting, you're not just rejecting the word that comes from the pulpit, you're rejecting the message that comes from the king who sent you this ambassador. And Paul knows that as he goes to all these different places, including the Romans, that this is the weight of his own responsibility. I am an ambassador of God. And I'm coming to you, and yes, it's remarkable, and yes, it's gracious, but it's for a reason. And the reason is not so that you would like me. Right? The ambassador doesn't want people just to nod and like everything he says and then just keep living the way they were. Ambassador comes with a desire that you would be reconciled to the one who sent him and that you be prepared to meet him and that week by week you would be more prepared to meet him. And so Paul could wake up every morning very conscious of his purpose that day. I, in all that I do, am an ambassador. Set apart, remarkably, graciously, and purposefully. But the purpose, the being set apart, isn't just for preachers. Because notice, secondly, God set the Romans apart. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God. This already is remarkable. If we understand you know, any sense of history or context. Right? Rome was, is still a major city in Italy. And it might just sound like a fact. But realize what this meant. At the time of Paul, Rome was the largest city. It was busy. It was noisy. It was crowded. It was stinky. There was great architecture. There were temples, shrines, political buildings, theaters, right? Colosseum. Almost all those other buildings dedicated to other idols. The Romans had gods like Jupiter, the god of the sky, Mars, the god of war, Venus, the goddess of love, Ceres, the goddess of harvest. And their whole civic calendar was based on these gods and Caesar. And the largest theaters there could hold 14,000 people. The largest stadium in Rome, 250,000 people. Rome was the center of Caesar's empire. Rome was also the center of the Pax Romana, time of peace and security, supposedly secured by the political skill of Caesar and the military. And the Romans would have thought of the whole as a result of their gods. In other words, they were Gentiles, and they were idolatrous Gentiles. Outside of Israel, outside of the promised land. And there had been many Jews in Rome, but they had been expelled by the Roman emperors. It's likely that they had been allowed back by the time Paul's writing this letter. But even then, the Jews and the Gentiles didn't always agree on everything. And yet, what does Paul say? As he's writing this letter, as he's being an ambassador to Rome, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, you are set apart. You are called to be saints. And that's possible in this city. And that the Romans then are set apart also highlights God's graciousness. Right? It's remarkable that the Romans would be set apart, considering who they were and where they lived. But this too is God's grace. Paul's writing this letter 20 to 30 years after Christ died, and the church is already somewhat established there. Paul's never been to Rome yet. It's not one of his church plants. But it's likely that there had been some people from Rome in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and they had taken the good news with them, and the church had grown in Rome, and Paul was waiting to visit. Because they too had been called for obedience to the faith among the nations. And the Romans were to receive Paul, because they were the called of God. This was grace, a gift that they too were called. They too had a privilege. They were part of the nations that had received the gospel. This was a grace given to them that they might be obedient to the faith. Now, what is this obedience to the faith? Some say it means obedience to the laws of faith, or obedience equals faith. But the key word is not obedience, it's faith. They are set apart by grace to have faith, to obey the call to believe. And grace then is given to them at Rome so that they might also believe. Grace to you. And not peace from Caesar, but peace from God our Father, who gives real peace. And this grace and peace must continue It's actually a beautiful reminder, right, of the salutation we receive week after week. This grace is prayed on for you. This is how we ought to hear God coming towards us with grace and a desire for peace. And Paul knows that God's grace is powerful. It works. It makes a difference because their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. It has already made a difference. And yet, even as they think of that grace and peace coming to them from God and setting them apart, it too is for a purpose. Not just so that they're talked about, but as verse 7 says, they are called to be saints. That's their purpose. God has set them apart, even in that city, so that there would be saints there. Now, saint does not mean someone with extra holiness or a higher level of spirituality. It's not someone recognized by the Catholic Church for a miracle and a special life. They're not above brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're not miracle workers. They're ordinary people who believed in Jesus. And they're called to be saints. Raises a question. Should the city around them in Rome, should the city around us notice a difference in those who call themselves beloved of God, Christians? The answer depends on what's noticed as a difference. If we think saint means perfect and sinless, should the city around you see you as perfect and sinless if you are a saint? Well, then the answer is no. But if the difference is belief, faith in Jesus Christ, different way of thinking, a hope that's beyond this world, then there ought to be a world of difference. These are saints set apart to follow God. They aren't set apart because they made themselves different. They aren't set apart because they came from Norway and were so different than the Romans. That doesn't make them saints. They're loved by God and they're called by God and they love God and they desire to call on God. Again, not perfectly, but there is this already a saint, not yet a saint struggle. And yet Paul's purpose in addressing them is to help them realize you have been set apart and this is your purpose. You are to rejoice in what God's given you. You are to depend on what God's given you. And you are to live lives that are absolutely distinct in this big city that God has put you in. How do you do that? You receive grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, undeserved kindness, gifts, favors, peace, well-being, prosperity. Receive these gifts. And realize then that as the church in Rome, you are to live with grace towards the city and you are to live with peace towards others around you. And as you wake up every day, you Romans, that's your confidence. You go out living with grace and peace, knowing that God has set you apart for that purpose. In this place, you are representatives of grace. Is that something you'd be able to do? Wake up with the joy and the confidence that today God has set me apart to be a saint. Because thirdly, that's what this passage calls us to reflect on. That God sets every Christian apart. That should be remarkable to you. Right? From the 7 billion people in the world, why did God look down on me so that I would hear His word, know His word? Why did God, out of all the 7 billion people, send His word to me? Why did He put me in a church? Why did He allow me to be convicted, to understand the gospel, to read the wisdom of other believers? Why did He allow me to know another Christian? And it's not random. God has called me, He has called you to be set apart. Even if you're a young person, God has called you to be set apart. Right? It's one of the blessings of baptism. God has come down and He's put His name beside yours in baptism, and He's promised you, I will be your God. That ought to be remarkable to us. And it should remind us again of His grace. It's a gift. There's nothing a baby does to earn that. There's nothing a young person does to earn that. It's grace. It's a gift that God comes and He says, I've known you. I've set you apart. Made you part of a covenant community. Given you the privilege of interacting with other believers. Given you a Bible in your own language. Given you the mental capacity to be able to read it. It's grace. I've given you opportunity to study it together. I've given you opportunity to hear it. But the grace here isn't just all the gifts that we count. It's saving grace. It's grace that is reconciliation. Right? Paul, the ambassador, goes out with a call, be reconciled to God. But as God calls people apart, what does He do? He reconciles those that were opposite, separate from God, unable of themselves to return to God. God comes and He says, this is my grace towards you. Right, as we're born into this world, we're not reconciled to God. And the implications of that if God never called down to us, we would never know how to be reconciled to God. We would never know His grace. We would only know the best of sinful people. We could do nothing to save ourselves. But God has set us apart and showered us grace. And yes, we make a distinction between common calling and effectual calling. Right? Everyone who hears is not necessarily saved. But you see, God does come with His Holy Spirit and He does work effectually by grace. And it's the living call of the Word of God that plants a seed. And yes, it's a tiny seed, and like all seeds, it begins small and it begins fragile. But He sends His Spirit, and that seed grows into a plant, and the plant grows so that, like Psalm 1 says, you can be like a tree planted by rivers of water that will never go barren. But everything will be fruitful. You see, that's the work of reconciliation. God calling sinners who didn't know Him, who were nothing, who were dead, to be living, fruitful, vibrant saints. That's the effectual call of God that changes a person. Our confession, Canons of Dort, puts it this way: when God accomplishes His good pleasure in a person by the power of His Spirit, He pervades the innermost recesses. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart. He infuses new qualities into the will. Though it was dead, God makes it alive. From being evil, disobedient, and wayward, God makes it good, obedient, and pliable. And God strengthens it so it may bring forth the fruit of good actions. It's God who does this. And if you know this effectual calling and work in yourself, it's not because you chose it. It's not because you sat under better preaching. It's not because you read more. It's not because you were a nicer person. It's because God did something absolutely powerful and delightful in you. And He set you apart. There's a lot that comes from God and reconciliation with God. But I want to focus this morning on this. He has set you apart. It's not about membership. It's not about a piece of paper. It's about being one in Jesus Christ with all the other saints. Set apart, though. But not set apart as individuals. Set apart as those in Christ. It's not about belonging to a denomination and having no devotion. Or being in a building once a week and never in the good book. It's not so shallow that it ebbs and flows with every little change in society. It's not intellectualism. Right? God has set apart the most simple of saints. But when the Spirit works effectually, the sinner's united to Jesus Christ, and he or she loves Jesus and wants to be with Jesus and know Him and serve Him and promote Him, you've been set apart, called to be a saint. And if you know the effectual call of God, that should give you a purpose every single day. And not just, okay, I know what God wants me to do, but it should give you a confident purpose every single day. Because you have a job description. Be a saint. And it's not a badge again. You can't walk around saying, I'm a saint. No. Grace of God has come to me and the Spirit has filled me. And He calls me to go out and be a light in this dark city. It's not shallow. It's not quick. It's not easy. Read the rest of Romans. But you see, here's the context for the rest of Romans. Every day as you wake up and you put your feet down on the floor, it's with the prayer, Lord, help me to be a saint today. Have you ever woken up with that thought? What does it mean? What does it look like? I want to leave you with four things that come from this passage, really. But as you are set apart to be a saint, begin with this realization. You are to receive the grace that God gives. And realize it's grace from God that will allow you, enable you to be a saint. You might struggle so much, you think that's not possible. There's a reason we read Heidelberg Catechism question 1. And I want to re-quote it here. I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. See, through Jesus Christ, you can go out and live as a saint. And yes, the devil is going to try and stop you. But Jesus has delivered me from the power of the devil. So number one, receive the grace. Number two, obey with courage and faith. It's not easy to go out into a city that's so different. And not different in external ways, but different in allegiance and different in life purpose. But I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am so preserved that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, and therefore I can go out and obey with courage. He takes care of me. Number three, realize this is a communal call. You are called to be saints. Yes, there's an individual aspect, but there's a communal aspect. This congregation in Calgary are called to be saints. Together, you are to be saints. And together you are to see the city then as a saint should see the city, as a church should see the city. And you encourage each other. We are called to be saints. What does that mean for us here? We're a small church. No, you're called to be saints. It's a grand opportunity. You are set apart for this purpose. And you can be encouraged. Number four. Live with boldness despite the city. Because as the Catechism says, I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am sincerely willing and ready from now on to live for Him. You think of other verses that are coming in Romans. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Go out and be saints, knowing that all these things are subservient to your salvation. Or you flip to chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're called to be saints. And that's your confident purpose every morning. It is to be your confident purpose every morning. The struggle of a saint is we know it's not always there. But the calling of a saint is to realize that's your calling. You matter. Don't second guess if you have a place or a role. Every saint matters. Every saint is called. Every saint is set apart by God, remarkably, graciously, and purposefully. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives to your children the purpose for every day. And though it looks different in our individual lives, we pray that we would see this as your call on us, as individuals, but also as a church. That we would live lives that are set apart for your honor and your glory. We ask that you would help us in this. We ask that we would do it more consistently. We pray we would do it more confident in the outpouring of your Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that we would see just enough fruit to encourage us to continue. But we pray that all honor and glory would go to you. And so we ask that you would hear us in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.